Welcome to Mink Life Motivation, and boy, do we have a show for you today. So we are going to talk about not sure why you're not getting those referrals you keep asking for. Maybe it's your customer satisfaction. Let's talk about it. So it is going to be so much fun today. We got girl power today, I'm just saying. I'm here with Caitlin, who I have adored for a long time, and my new friend, Rachel. So let's meet our co-host. And don't forget, we want you to leave your comments and be part of the show. So if you have something to say or a question or something to add, put them in the comments, and it may just end up right here. And we'll talk about your questions too. All right, let's get started. Rachel, I want to know, why are you passionate about helping people with customer experience using your zone of genius? So tell us about how you use your zone of genius.
Hey, everybody. So great to be here. Well, I think our zone of genius is all about our personal brand. It's ultimately about what are our skills and superpowers that make us amazing. And the more niche they are, the better. For me, my zone of genius is branding, it's marketing, it's communication. And the more that I lean into these strengths, the better customer experience I'm able to provide, not just in the agency and Standout Authority, what I've created here today, but also when I was in corporate. The more that I was aware of what I was really good at, it was better for me to also be with my team and deliver a great experience to the customers.
I love it. I love it. Okay, Caitlin, how do you use your zone of genius in helping people?
So I am a brand designer and a web developer. So I look at the visuals. And so customer experience is that the second you hit someone's website, that it's inviting, it's informative, it's a clean, simple design is really what I stress with clear calls to action. So customer experience really is like knowing how to get a person from A to B in your business. And so I focus all on the visuals and then that cohesive brand across the board. So if you show up on their LinkedIn page, that the cover photo is beautiful and it matches the brand, you know, cohesive across the board, where if I show up somewhere else, that it looks like me, you know. So it's like, if you find me on Instagram, the graphics then match the website that you go to book a call with me. So that's customer experience in a visual way.
I love that. And obviously I am all about making sure that people look like them. I think that showing up consistently and authentically is so important. And a lot of times people think that they have to look perfect and that that's the way they're going to give a good customer experience. But we live in a digital driven world where people are seeing things real time, and you can't just put that like painted perfect face on, like maybe you could in the 80s or 90s. People see stuff and they want you to be real. They want to know who you are about. And that is what's going to build trust and build that customer experience. And how I do that is by making sure that people have impactful, amazing first impressions. Your profile pictures, your pictures on your website, all of those things should represent not just a pretty picture of you, but they should represent the emotion and essence of the experience people are going to have. So I don't believe that we need a pretty picture. I believe that we need an impactful picture that represents our business. It's going to draw our ideal clients to us. And that combined with, you know, the branding and the colors and everything looking the same is going to help that customer build trust. And trust is kind of the ground floor of having a good customer experience. Because if your clients don't trust you, they're not going to have a good experience. So if you have Okay, hold on. Let's see what Bill has to say. Personal branding is crucial for providing a great customer experience. Exactly. It helps to build trust with customers and give them the best understanding of who you are. Yes, that's exactly what all of us are saying. I love it. People are agreeing with us. So, you know, really, it's that trust, that's that foundation. And I think that's what all three of us have really said is how that building that trust is so important. This is going to be fun. All right, let's stay inspired. Okay, usually we get motivated first. Yeah, let's get motivated. All right, Caitlin, we're going to start with you. Why is customer satisfaction important for professionals to thrive in their life and business?
Well, I mean, the easiest answer is if your customers aren't happy, they're not coming back, and therefore you're not making any money. And I think at the end of the day, we want to help people, but we also still need to pay the bills and have a profitable business. But, you know, I think that it's crucial for prosperity and just overall happiness is that if you know that your customers are happy, that gives you a lot more fulfillment in your heart, that like you're spending your time and your efforts on something that really stands out, and the it feels better if I have the question in front of me. So it was customer service professionals. Yeah, I mean, your business thrives on customers. I think that even in the rising noise and conversation about like AI and all that stuff, it's like people are still buying from people. And at the end of the day, that's all part of your customer experience. It's like these are tools and they're not taking, I mean, they're probably going to take jobs, whatever. But at the same time, using the tools and coming forward and just being yourself and your customers. Yep. And I see a comment of unhappy customers, tell everyone. So you also want to make sure that adds to the overall repertoire of your company.
Absolutely. An unhappy customer tells everybody. Isn't that the truth? It's great to get those good reviews, but you know, and they may have an amazing experience, but that one person that didn't, they're gonna share. Rachel, I'm gonna ask you the same question. Why is customer satisfaction important for professionals to thrive in life and business?
You know, I think that she did a really good job covering it. I think to further expand on it, pretty sure that one negative customer experience will, I don't remember the exact data. I think one negative customer experience will like invalidate the 10 positive that you had, right? So we know that happy customers, and not just, I don't want to call them customers. When people are happy and feel super satisfied with the relationship that you're building, and to me, customer satisfaction means that you're building a relationship human to human with somebody. When we do that, it's not just that the business is going to thrive. It's also that we're going to build that customer lifetime value, which means that we will continue to make more money off of that person over the long time, and they will advocate for us. And let's not forget, usually 20% of our actual client or customer base are the people that stay around and drive revenue for us. The rest of them don't.
100%. It's all about relationships. Customer satisfaction is crucial for success. It's all about relationships. So true. Unhappy customers will definitely talk about their experience. That's why it's so important to prioritize customer experience. The thing that I feel is I don't like sales, right? I think a lot of us feel cringy around sales, but yet we all sell things. Like that's literally, you know, I sell my husband on going to do something that I want to do or watching a movie that I want to watch. We sell our friends on going to a certain restaurant or doing whatever that is. And it's all about relationships. And so customer service and customer satisfaction, client satisfaction is about relationships. I really like that Rachel said that because I believe it's so true. We should be building our business around relationships and around caring for people, not building our relationship around, you know, us, look at me. It's about how can we serve you and what do you need and how can we make your life easier? That's really what it's all about. I remember when I started my studio in San Diego like 20 years ago, I had one client that came in. I was struggling to get new clients. I had this one client that came in and I kid you not, she, if it weren't for her, I may have never succeeded because within a year she had referred 12 people to me that all came in and referred people to me. And that's how, that's all it takes is that one relationship to really blossom. So when you're thinking about your customer experience, know that when you, the more time you nurture it, the more you're going to get from that. I agree. It's all about relationships. Yes. It's all about relationships. All right. Now it's time to get inspired now. All right. How has customer satisfaction been a problem for you in the past? And what did you do to overcome it? All right, Rachel, we're putting you on the hot seat right now. How
did you branding today? Are we talking branding or customer satisfaction?
We're talking about branding through customer satisfaction.
Okay, I'm kind of like, you know, this is a little twist for me, Monica and Peggy. But hey, you know, here we are. What was the question again? I'm just like a little, I'm surprised we're talking so much about customer satisfaction. So
yep, that's the name of the show, The Five-Star Experience.
Yeah, it's so, definitely, you know, I'm sure Caitlin, you know, feels the same, right? We thought we were talking branding. So for me, I've had different experiences, right? I have worked in corporate and I have experienced specifically one of the brands I worked on was called Software Advice. And so it was helping small businesses find the right software through human conversation. But a lot of that demand generation was done through paid search and SEO and was quite a transactional relationship until the person was actually talking to an advisor. And so in my experience, the more mechanical and more transactional that relationship and journey was, especially in a digital world, right? Most journeys that people are, 90% of the buying journey is complete before anybody is talking to a human, if they even do talk to a human. So in that experience, there is a lot of reasons somebody can become unhappy and have problems. And the more transactional that journey is for them. So if you're using more paid advertising, if you're using more bots, if you're using more automation and email, right? How along that way can it be more human with real voices behind it? And that's where I've seen a lot of, you know, tension between the customer and the company. And then I think as an entrepreneur and business owner today, at the end of the day, when you're working with a client, it's all about expectation setting. So when you come in, we have a conversation around your goals, and then 6 months later, you feel like those goals haven't been met, right? There's going to be that tension. So we as business owners really have to be clear on that goal setting and expectation setting all the time. By the way, not just with our clients and customers, also with our team. And then along that journey, if things are changing, making sure that we're taking them along the way. And that's some of the ways that we can help prevent those relationships from going sour.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Caitlin, you're up. Tell us where you kind of fell off in the past and how you recovered from that and how you've gotten moved forward with doing an amazing job.
So I think that one of the things that I'm constantly thinking about and working on is that balance of like, how can I make things automated or streamlined or templated in a way that's the back end of my business? Cause right now I am a solopreneur. It is just me, but that customer satisfaction. And so one thing that's come up a couple times, and now I am currently working on how to pivot the client experience after you've booked with me, is I involved a tool that helped collect all the copy and the things. And the tool is so great for me. I love it, but my clients struggle to use it. And so the customer satisfaction and how I overcome it is just like to notice that like it in the end, what I thought was going to save time and be so easy for everyone to use is not. And so now it's like to go back and keep things simple, which, you know, I always say I advocate for simple design and simple user experience when it comes to websites. And now I need to keep my the process of getting from A to B with building a, like, websites are a lot more work and more complicated than I think people think to build something out of nothing. And there's a lot of steps, there's a lot of information gathering. And that's the biggest part of the customer satisfaction that I have to be working on and be cognizant that when I'm working one-to-one with somebody, that they know what's coming next, what the expectations are. And, you know, because then they get frustrated and I'm frustrated, and that's not good for anybody.
That is never good for anybody. So my brand is that I empower, inspire, and educate my clients. That is my brand. That's my brand story. That's my brand marketing. That's everything about what I do. And this is many, many years ago. I'm going to really tell a nasty story how I failed in my customer experience. I was doing a wedding. This was 18 years ago. And this was when I say Bridezilla. Oh, it was not a good experience. And I could not, you know, none of the vendors in this wedding could make her feel good. And the wedding planner's email was similar to the bride's email. You probably see where this is going, right? So I'm very careful about, you know, who I talk about and how I talk about them. And this one time was just such a horrific experience. And the wedding planner had emailed me and kind of vented about some nasty things that the bride had done. And so I replied to who I thought was the wedding planner with my opinion of the bride. Yeah, I actually emailed the bride and told her what a bridezilla she was. And I got a pretty colorful Yelp review that I deserved, because that's not my brand. That's not who I am. And that's not how I want anybody to feel. My brand is that I'm there to encourage and empower you to succeed, not to tear you down and point out your flaws. So that was a really hard lesson for me to learn, because I knew better. You know, it was just a human moment of being an idiot. And I still think of that from time to time. And like I said, that was 18 years ago. And I am often reminded when I want to jump on that that complain train, you know, I'm often reminded that, no, that's not what my branding represents. My branding represents that I'm here to empower you and encourage you and uplift you, not point out your flaws. I'm here to make you look beautiful and powerful, not the opposite. So yeah, we're all human, and it's good to learn from those lessons and really think about what your brand is. What does your company represent, and how do you, influencers can also have a big impact for customer satisfaction. People tend to trust other customers and their opinions, and that leads to trusting that company. Absolutely. And that's why when you have one customer that loves you, they can bring in so many more. What has you guys' experience been with, you know, having like a raving fan that's just absolutely like turned your business around? Have you, either one of you, experienced anything like that? Rachel, how about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've had raving fans inside of companies as an employee during my MBA experience, my agency experience, all around, right? I think that is what a personal brand is about. It's about presenting yourself and creating a perception and impression that's both align with your inner self and really what you do well. And I have been very strategic in making sure that I have fans in everything that I do, including inside my home, creating a blended family with two stepchildren, right? And so that really means that I am who I am online and in person. I have a lot of great connections and followers on LinkedIn that continue to grow. I get amazing messages from people. And when they get on a call with me or they meet me in person, right, it's, you're the same person. And I think that is so, so important in a world like today, where the reality is there's a lot of fake people, there's a lot of fake content. And I'm really standing for human conversation and human connection and that authenticity. And that to me is what builds fans. And that's really the premise of Standout Authority.
Figuring out what your brand represents is key. Absolutely. Now, I am a raving fan of Caitlin. So I'm sure Caitlin has a ton of raving fans. So tell us about how raving fan has changed your impact on your business.
I think that, I mean, I think of a few people that they continue to come back. They know that they'll get good customer service when it comes to being able to figure things out. I like to pride myself in the fact that I'm a visual graphic designer by study, but I also am someone who like has to figure things out. And so like things that are on my list to do this week are like figuring out answers to questions I never thought I was going to be asked for functionality and web stuff. And so I know that for me, it's like, there's never really like a no, I can't figure that out. It's going to be, I need more time to figure that out. But, and yeah, I think that in this noisy social media world where it is good to show up, and I believe showing up authentically, at the end of the day, 95% of all of my clients have come from word of mouth and referral. I think only one or two people found me on Instagram or LinkedIn and just cold messaged me to get on a consult. It is usually coming into rooms like this, going to networking events, having connections with people that will think of me the next time you're out at an event and someone says, oh, like I really hate my website. And you're like, oh, well, I know someone. And so that's how you get fans, is by having friends that also think of you as what you do for your business as well as your family life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. Colleen Strube, I'm a big Colleen Strube fan as well. So yes, she said that she appreciates her many fans. I agree with Rachel. Human connections and authenticity is so important. Yes. Okay. So now networking. Who should we ask when we're trying to improve our customer experience? Caitlin, you're up. Who should we ask when we're trying to improve our customer experience?
I mean, the default is always to think about going to your previous clients or customers. And sometimes that can feel hard because you are a little bit afraid of hearing the negative. And but I think that it also would be potentially asking further down the road, like 6 months to a year later, just be like, hey, like at this point, why do you remember working with me? And do you know anyone who? Because then you'll kind of get a sense of if they're resistant to wanting to refer you, there could be something there. And maybe you start asking things like I've been asking about the processes and like, do you like this tool? Are you like, was there any like hiccups along the way that you felt could have been like solved or presented differently? And also just kind of talking it out. I have a couple like Voxer chats going with some business friends that we just kind of like talk out all of that stuff of systems and processes and finding clients. And so they might be able to see things from a different perspective when it comes to like improving your customer experience. And so, I mean, one of my friends has really helped me figure out that repeating myself in emails and clarity is a gift, and I just heard this the other day that like being unclear is also clarity is kind and unclear is unkind. So it's like, if I feel like I'm repeating, like these are the steps that we're waiting for, this is what I'm waiting for from you, this is what I'm working on, it feels redundant to me because it's all in my head, but nobody else lives in my head but me.
Thank God no one but me lives in my head. We'll just leave it there. Rachel, how about you? Who should we reach out to when we're wanting to improve on our customer experience?
Yeah, I think totally agree with you, Caitlin, that the first people you should go with are your current clients and even past clients, right, to get an idea. I think the other thought that I have is I really look at businesses similar to me, people similar, or maybe they don't do the exact same thing, but have a similar kind of system and process. And I'm really excited about what they've created, right? They're kind of at that next level monetarily, scale, et cetera, and going to them and really learning the processes that they have, to me is just some of the best learning possible, like almost like that mentorship, right? And same with you, Caitlin, right? Being, whether you're part of a mastermind or groups or whatever, that wherever you can find those people, is just so critical to help in the process.
Absolutely. I think what both of you said is absolutely vital. Ask your clients that you're working with now, ask your clients that you worked with in the past, and look at people that are already, you know, done that, gone down that road. But here's something I think that a lot of times we forget to do, and that is be our own client. Like every few months I go through and I Google, you know, photographers in my area, and I find my website and I click on it and I think, now if I want to book this person, how hard or easy is it for me to get a hold of this photographer? And then once I book, what happens? Is it clear what time my appointments are? Is everything clear? Do I know what I'm supposed to do to get there? And I really walk through my own process as if I were my own client, because if I can't figure out my own process knowing it, then my clients are going to get lost in the process as well. And they're not going to have that smooth of a experience. And sometimes you have to go in and, you know, put in your information and see how the automations come in. Like if you have, you know, reminders and things, see if they're annoying or if they're worded correctly, you know, because we set things up and then we change the way we do things, but we forgot that we had this one thing going out telling them something completely different and it throws them off. So taking the time to walk through, and it is something that we have to stop and consciously, it's not something we like. I don't like to do it because it's like, well, I made it, I know how it works, but we don't. Mm-hmm. We don't. So experience your service as if you were your own client. I think that's a really good way to really see what people are actually experiencing, but also absolutely talk to, you know, listen to the feedback, listen to and let them, give them a space that they can give you negative feedback. Like, was there anything that was like confusing? Cause it would really help me if you told me, you know, anything that was, you know, not the best. And then, you know, reward them for their kindness. All right. Power round. Are you guys ready? One last tip. This is the speed lightning round. One last tip: how to build your brand by focusing on your brand story. All right. Rachel, go for it.
I'd say the one tip for building your personal brand is to focus on your current and past experiences. Focus on what you do really, really, really great. Back to what we were talking about, that zone of genius, not who you want to be, not the job that you want, not the client that you aspire to have. What are you really great at doing? What credibility do you have? What evidence is there of what you've done? And use that at the center of building your brand story, and then layered with your why, how you got there, what you like, what you don't like, right? What you're passionate about. But we have to come from a place that is actually true based off of what we truly are capable of doing. And that is something people really miss in building their brand story, because they're trying to appeal to an audience versus trying to just be themselves.
Awesome. And we got a bonus tip in there, because the question was actually how to focus on your building your brand through customer experience. But the question was in wrong. So we got a bonus tip in there, you guys. So Caitlin, how would you focus on building your brand through focusing on customer experience?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, customer experience is a quality customer experience is the direct line to being a referral or to be a repeat customer. And so if you are, I loved what you just said about trying to see your business through someone else's eyes. Like if I go to your website, do I know what I'm supposed to be doing? how to get on a call, are the alert, are there reminders, because, and so the customer experience is from like point A to point B, and mapping it out and really thinking about where in there you can put your brand voice in each step. So yes, using automated systems with the automated reminders, but making sure that they sound like you and they're not just the generic ones that the system auto populates for people. And finding ways to really add a little like color and flair to the systems will help increase the customer experience to then turn into referrals or repeat business. And so your brand customer experience is just as much of your brand as every other aspect of your business.
Absolutely. I love that. Customer service is just as much a part of your brand as anything else is. And I agree 120%. I think that I have built my brand around customer service. I've told the Ron story stopper before. You know, my dad was an entrepreneur. So I grew up in an entrepreneurial home, and his word was the most important thing to him about his business. If he quoted somebody a price lower than what he should have, he would always stick to his word, because his integrity and his word was his brand. You know, obviously he did great work, and, you know, people came from all over to have him, you know, to hire him to work. But he felt like that was the biggest part of his brand. And I think I've carried that through, that that's what I want my brand to be, is giving my clients an amazing customer experience, something that they can trust and something that they can always hold on to. And they know if they come to me, they know that whatever I tell them is going to happen, it's going to happen. And we're going to get through this together. So I think that that's really important to really identify. I think one of our listeners put that in the chat earlier. Knowing what your brand is key, like understanding what you want people to experience. Because if they don't understand if you don't know what you want them to experience, how are you going to know if they had a good experience? That was a really long one tip. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I'm the one that went off the rail on the one tip thing. Jeez, I tell you what, it is just too much fun hanging out with you guys. That's what happened. So it is time for announcements, and I can't wait to hear what Rachel has going on. So Rachel, tell us what's going on in your world.
Well, I'm pregnant on a personal level, so I'm expecting. But Standout Authority, we're really hyper-focused on building your personal brand. We work with amazing business owners and entrepreneurs, and whether we're helping you one-on-one or bringing you through our experience, our goal is to really help you become a standout authority, stand out in your niche, and really be the thought leader that you're meant to be for this world. So the most important, best place to do that is LinkedIn. That's where we're hyper focused on. It's the only business professional platform. And what we've crafted is a LinkedIn headline analyzer. Really quick, go on there, and that will help you craft a LinkedIn headline that is going to say, to help you with who's your audience, what you do, and what's the outcome. So kind of taking all of that branding and getting it into a really significant and simple line. So please go to quiz.soauthority.com, can get that free help, and would love to stay connected on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Caitlin.
So first of all, congratulations, Rachel. That's very exciting. And I am a brand designer, web developer, and I would love to offer a free website audit, a visual one. So if you want to book a coffee chat with me, and then in the little like extra thing, just put Mink Live and your URL, and I'll give you a quick sort of audit of what I think is working, where I think I could see some improvements, and just start the conversation. No obligation to do a consultation or anything, just a free website audit to kind of, if you wanted to get a new set of eyes on your website.
Awesome, Caitlin. I'm writing down that right now, because I'm definitely going to take you up on that. All right. So photographers, I am in the middle right now of a 5-day challenge. So you guys just missed the first ever 5-day challenge to map out your dream business. But you can still schedule a call and talk to me, and I can still help you get in that branding zone so you can get some amazing customers, client referrals as well. So just go to Go to headshotstrategist.life and book a call with me. I can't wait to talk to you. And Monica, there we go. All right, we are going to do Mink Life announcements now.
All right. So, pressing the mute button is helpful. Hi, guys. This was a great show. You guys did a fantastic job. I'm just here to give you some quick announcements about how you can stay in touch with us here at Mink Life Motivation. If you enjoyed the show today, guess what? We do this twice a week. That's right. 9 a.m. Pacific time and on Wednesdays and Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Join the conversation like you did today. Leave your comments in the chat and you will see your things pop up. If you like this, but you're like, hey, I can't sit here and watch. I got to be on the go. No worries. We have it on the go as well. This is also a podcast. That's right. So you can go to all the places where you would find a podcast. Look up Mink Life Motivation Live. And there you will see all the past episodes, including this one after a couple of days. If you're interested in being on the show, you're like, oh my gosh, they look like they were having so much fun. I want my voice to be heard. I want platform. Well, guess what? You can be on the show by going to minklifemotivation.com/live, where you can have this awesome conversation. Tomorrow, we have our last show of the week, which is Boost Your Influence with Colleen Struby, where we will be talking about how all this works with networking. Back to you.
Yay. Well, thank you both for being on the show with me. I so had fun. And I guess we will see everyone back here at the same place tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific with Colleen Struby. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.